phrases. If you do the good, you're going to prosper. If you do this, you'll prosper. If you go this way, you'll get this. You'll find all these solutions. You see books on the internet or different whatever. If you just do this, you'll increase your faith. If you just do this, you'll have success in your church. If you just do this, follow my formula. We have all sorts of ways and all sorts of thinking, and we think we've got answers, and we think we've got things going well. But we are a boastful people, and God says there shouldn't be any boasting in ourselves. God is the one who does it all. God is the one in charge of it all. We need not be boastful. We need to be thankful. And that's what we find our biggest problems in. I think the biggest problems I have in my life is I take too much for granted. I forget sometimes that everything I have came from God. I forget sometimes that everything that I've got in my future, I've got in my past, all my success, everything that I am came from God. I was formed in the belly of my mother by God, and every skill I have, every aptitude I have, every consequence and success I have is a direct result of what God has done for me. Nothing in myself is worth boasting about. If there's anything that I could ever get done right, it might be that I could actually live a few minutes or a few hours trying to please God with all of my heart, and I struggle even to do that for just a short period of time, and yet even that comes from the strength God has given me. The very life that I have, the very air that I breathe, the very ability to breathe it in and breathe it out and to talk and to reason and to communicate and everything I have comes from that little gift that God gave us, life. Nothing else is worth having. If you don't have life, nothing else is meaningful. Nothing else matters. If you're dead and in the grave, it doesn't matter how much money you ever had. It doesn't matter how much success you ever had. All of it depends on what God has given us, and that starts with life. It's interesting to me. I was thinking about this. I hope I can make my point. I'm trying to make a point this morning. What do you think? How much do you think about God? What do you think about God? What do you think about Him in your life and in your daily living? How much do you consider God? As I was thinking about that, I was thinking about good preaching. I like good preaching. I hope, I aspire to be a good preacher. I want to be a preacher of righteousness. I want to be a preacher of the truth of God. I would like to be an expositor of God's word. I would like to be able so that other people could hear me preach and they know what God said, because that's what God gave me to say. I want to be faithful to do that. I like good preaching. I like hearing people preach the truth. I like being able to take my Bible and listen to them and know that what they said was absolutely what God said, what He wanted us to hear. I like good preaching. I like it when they explain and they explore and they expose the Word of God to me. I like it when they expose sin and they expose truth, and I've got something to follow because that's what God gave us to follow. I like good preaching. There's a type of preaching that I see every now and then. It's not as common, but I like it. I appreciate it. That's when a preacher stands up, he's got some ability, he's got some understanding, and he can defend and justify God and all of what God does sometimes when I can't understand it. There are things in this book that I do not always understand, and I wonder, why is God doing it that way? Why did God go around that way? Why did He do it this way or do that instead of that? I look at it and say, I would have done it differently, but God didn't do it that way. I guess somebody knows what he's talking about. Somebody spent some time in the Word, and he comes along and he defends God. He justifies God. He shows how God was right all the way through, and I appreciate that. I appreciate somebody who helps me understand God so that I can take God's side, take it wholeheartedly. I want to be on God's side. That's the attitude I want to have. That's the attitude, if I can do anything and encourage you this morning, I want you to have the attitude, I want to be on God's side. So many times I fail in so much, but I want that attitude. I wanted the attitude that I would like to be on God's side more than just intellectually. I've already decided a long time ago, I'm going to be on God's side. I'm going to follow through. I'm going to stay on God's side. I'm going to do my best to defend Him and follow after Him, even when I don't understand it. But I would like really more so to have it way down inside my heart that I am so confident and so assured and so knowing about what God is doing that I am trusting Him intrinsically, integrally, all the way down inside my heart. I am on God's side all the way. When I meet God, I'd like a well done, thou good and faithful servant. I'd like that. I'm looking for that. I hope to get it. At least I want a, you didn't quit, Eddie. You kept fighting all the way through. You wouldn't give up. You kept going all the way. I'd like to be known as somebody that was on God's side. As I was thinking about that, I was thinking about this past year, 2020. What a year it was. We started out in January with an early revival, early on in the year. Brother Spurgeon came and preached for us, and we had a good time and a good revival, and I remember it, really enjoyed it. The next month, my daughter was able to finalize the adoption of my little grandbaby, and that was an excellent month. I loved it. And then March hit, and COVID hit, and all of a sudden things changed. April, we went to cottage meetings. And then May, we went to parking lot meetings. And then June, July, and August, we were back inside. And then the rest of this fall, we've been fighting this COVID thing all the way through. And January, we hit, all of us, a bunch of us get sick, and we're back out here in the parking lot. And I'm glad we've got all this resources. I'm glad we can do this. But man, what a year. What did COVID do to you? Did you think about it? Have you thought about it? Have you realized how much it changed everything we do, everything in our life, everything in our culture, everything around us? It's changed the whole world. It's modified what we're doing. Modified our, you can't go shopping without a mask. You can't walk into a store. I mean, the law says it. The store says it. They've got guards there, and people are fighting it all different ways to go. But this has changed our entire community. Companies got people working at home now, which they weren't doing before. Businesses are all focused on this. City, state, and the federal government are focused on COVID. You can't watch the news anymore without all day. It seems like every day it starts with something about COVID. I'm tired of COVID. I don't know how many times I've heard this year. I'll be glad when this year is over because of COVID. My goodness, it's put a bunch of us down in our homes and locked us up because we get sick or do one thing or another, but it's turned our world upside down. I see fear and I see panic and I see all sorts of different constraints, and I see people changing the way they live and the way they think because COVID came along and it scared the daylights out of us. And it has. That's a solid fact. I was looking at some statistics the other day, and it's amazing how much it has affected the world. To even look more at it, every government in the world is worried about this vaccine. And they're worried about people getting sick and how they're going to handle it, how the resources are going to handle it. And different places are going through it differently and handling it differently. But the whole world has changed because of one simple little bug. Maybe it's not simple. That may be a misnomer. But one little disease, one little bug going through, and it has affected the way we think and the way we do things, and everything about our lives has changed because of COVID. There's a verse in Amos. Amos chapter 3 and verse 6. Got several questions in Amos chapter 3, and they're rhetorical. It says in Amos chapter 3 and verse 6, "Shall a trumpet be blown in the city, and the people not be afraid? Shall there be evil in a city, and the Lord hath not done it?" I thought about this early on when COVID first hit. Did you ever think about that maybe this was something God did for his own purpose and his own plan? Did you ever give God the credit for saying, "God did this, he planned it, he put it into place, and he did it for us and for a purpose, and maybe I don't understand it, maybe I can't explain it, but I know that this came from God. Shall there be evil in a city, and the Lord hath not done it? Is there going to be a pandemic around the world, and the Lord didn't do it?" I want you to know this came from God. God designed it, God planned it, God knew it was coming. I don't know that it's judgment, I don't necessarily think that it's judgment. I think it's a warning. I think it's a wake-up call. I think it's time for us to listen and see what God wants from us and pay attention to it. We need to revise our thinking about what God is doing. Yes, does God send pandemics? Yes, he does. Does God send disasters? Yes, he does. That's clear through the Bible. You can find lots of different references to it. If you look at me, look for me later, I can give you some references, but I want you to know it is nothing new for God to send things that are disastrous for us just so that we will pay attention. I was thinking about it the other day as I was disciplining and watching some discipline. I remember disciplining my little baby kids. They were crawling and just doing this or just doing that, very, very small. And you think, okay, they don't understand. But you try to tell them some things. You tell them no. You tell them don't grab that. Don't do this. And they do it anyway. You reach over and you spank them. You think, oh, that's so harsh. No, I'm trying to get their attention. They need to learn. They need to grow up. And sometimes God needs to get our attention. And I think that God wants to get the attention of all of our world. And we need to pay attention to what God is saying, because sometimes we just don't pay attention. We are so proud of ourselves and so proud of our success that we just don't think about what God wants. And I think that this is what's going on. But one of the things I do want to point out very carefully, very surely. God is in control. He has not lost control. You may think that COVID caught God by surprise and we don't know what we're doing, but God knows what's going on. God is in control. He hasn't lost control. He didn't all of a sudden find out that he had a flat tire at 60 miles an hour going down the highway and he's losing. The car is shaking and going different ways and he doesn't know what he's going to do. No, God is in control. He's got control of the vehicle. He's got control of this world. He knows where he's going. He knows how he's going to handle it. And we need to learn how to trust him and be careful and confident in him because he is going to take care of every situation. Even if it costs me, even if it hurts me, even if it seems like detrimental in this life, but God is in control and he's doing what he wants to do. I want you to know that he's doing a work. He's doing his plan. He's following his schedule. He's going the way he wants to go. And whether I like it or understand it or even though if I could even help him, I know that he's in control and I need to trust him and follow through with him and take his way all the way through. Getting ahead of myself. I believe God is doing a work. He's doing a work aimed at our hearts, aimed at our lives, aimed at our neighbors, aimed at our cities, aimed at our states, aimed at our nations, so that we would pay attention to what God is saying. Do you realize that God is getting tired of all of the wickedness we find going on around us? Do you realize that God is tired of all the lack of interest in what he's doing? He builds this beautiful universe. He puts a beautiful world in it. It's got all these complex systems and things going on, and he put us in it to take care of it and to glorify him and to serve him in it, and we just ignore it, and we just go all our merry way, and we do whatever we want to do, and we forget God, and God says, wait a minute, let me show you my power. Here's a bug. Here's a little virus. You can't hardly see it. You got to get these super powerful microscopes to see it. Got to figure out what it is. And they're trying to do it. And it's amazing that we can even see it. But God said, this was nothing hard for me. I didn't have a problem doing this. I could have done this anytime. I can do it again. I can do it 300 times. I can make it worse. I can make it better, whatever it is. But God is doing a work. We need to pay attention to him. We need to think about what he's doing and be ready to change our attitudes toward God and serve him. To follow after him. I think he's calling on us to follow him, give up our lives, to give up our thinking, to give up our way of doing things so that we can put him first, not only as a church, not only as a Christian, not only as our small families, but our whole nation and our whole world needs to turn around and say, God, please be merciful to us. Please have mercy on us. Change the situation, and we'll serve you. Go, Lord, help us to serve you. Give up our lives and follow after you because you're God. Go back and you look at where God sends pestilence in the Old Testament. And he's trying to do it so that they would turn to him and follow him and serve him because they knew that he was God. It is amazing to me how many times you find people, they call on God, they use his name, Jehovah. They make idols and they do all sorts of wickedness in the name of God because they forgot who God is and they just didn't care because they got selfish. God is calling on us. God is working on us in our lives and for us to turn around and repent and make things right with God as a nation, as a people, as a family, as a church, whatever it is, so that we can get right with God and follow after him because he is a merciful God. He wants to have mercy. He wants to bring peace. He wants to give us joy and eternal life. He wants to do all those things. But our sins have separated us from God, and we need to turn around and give our life to God. He's dealing with us as individuals, as communities, as states, as nations. He wants us to repent. COVID is not just a bug, not just a natural disaster. We've had pestilences and we've had plagues and we've had all sorts of disasters all the way through history. You can go back for years and check it out. 100 years ago, they had what they call the Spanish flu and it scared them. That's where the flu vaccine comes from. And they learned a lot of things that we're going through and using now because of what they learned with the Spanish flu. But this is nothing new. We've been through it before. You know, I was thinking about it also in 2001 when those planes hit the Twin Towers in New York and hit the Pentagon and went down in Pennsylvania after they were going for after another target. And it was amazing to me that right after that happened, with all that had been going on and our world seemed to be getting worse and worse, after all that happened, they said the churches all of a sudden got full. Lots of people started going to church and lots of people started to pray. And once the thing was over, once the crisis seemed to be past, people stopped going to church. People stopped paying attention to God. But it was amazing to me that when this thing hit, I don't remember, I may be wrong, but I don't remember a national outcry for let's getting right with God. I don't remember a national outcry for, wait a minute, God is working. We need to take some time and repent as a nation and pray. Let me warn you now. We need to take some time and repent. We need to take a time as a nation and pray. We need as a nation to get our face before on the ground and before God and say, Lord God, help us. Forgive us. We've been wrong. We're living wrong. We're chasing wrong. We're calling evil good and good evil. God wants us to repent. God is calling for us to repent. I thought about it being a test set up by God. Test our pride and our boasting. Test our thankfulness. Test our willingness to make God our God and God our master and the Bible our guide. Too many times we ignore God. Does it also remind you that there is a God? Did you think about it when this happened? Oh, man, there is really a God. I need to pay attention to him. I think we need to think about these things. Call to repent. Yes, I think it's a call to repent. We need to consider how righteous we are and how close we are to God and how so much of our time is spent on ourselves, our self-centeredness, our selfishness, our own success, our own lives, our own way of doing things, our retirement. I know I'm at the point of retiring. My wife is about ready to retire, and I'm looking at how can I live easy? Maybe I shouldn't be thinking about how I can live easy, but how I can do more for God. How I can put more of my time and my effort into pleasing God. How I can be more pleasing to God in the last few years I have left. And if I do have enough resources to live comfortably, how can I make it a good time for God? May God use me in my time of retirement all the way down to my death. I'd like to be on God's side all the way. Maybe we need to spend more time in God's Word. I think that would be a good thing. Get to know Him better. Get to know how to share Him better. Share the witness of our neighbors and share the witness and share the Word with those around us. And maybe share it with different ones we can. Maybe we should spend more time seeking out the truth. More of a desire just to seek out God and get to know Him better, get to love Him more, get to be close to Him because He is God. We're going to spend all eternity with God if we're Christians and we're saved here this morning. All eternity is going to be spent with God. Why don't we spend more time with Him now, get closer to Him, get to know Him better, get to where we love Him better, want to be close to Him, get out of our comfort zone, find the place where God is. Another thing I thought about, maybe we could learn from this COVID situation. You've been called to be a soldier. You got too comfortable in your life, in your job, in your retirement, in your home, in your way of doing things. You've got your routine. You go to church on a regular time, and you go to the Sunday night meeting, and you go to Wednesday night meeting, and you do whatever it is you're doing, but you got a routine, and you're going this way, and you're going along, and you just don't want anybody to mess up your routine, even God. And God says, wait a minute, I can mess up your routine when you don't want me to. I can do anything I want to do, and I need your attention. God wants our attention. Maybe He wants us to take up arms against what's wrong. Take up arms against sin. Take up arms against the death that's all around us. Take up arms in being witnesses to our neighbors and our friends and our workers at job or whatever, whatever it is that we need to do. But we were talking last week, I think it was Brian was talking on wars. Had a couple mentions about wars last week. We need to be taking up arms as soldiers of God, taking up arms to defend righteousness, to stand for God, to stand for God's word, to stand for truth. Let people know that there is a judgment coming. We need to take up arms and do battle. We need to realize it's not about our comfort or ease, but about what God is doing and what He wants to do, what He wants to do with us. And this last one may not be as easy to think about. Did you ever realize you're expendable? That is the hardest thing for each of us to think about. No soldier wants to be put into the position. Excuse me. No soldier wants to be put into the position, okay, I want you to lead out and go charge that hill. Sometimes that's what we have to do. Sometimes we need to realize that as soldiers of God and servants of God and people in the army of God, we are expendable. God may take us and put us down for the count. He may take us and take us out and take us back to glory earlier than we wanted to go. And it may not be the way we wanted to go. But what does it matter if I'm a soldier of God and I fight in His army and I'm supposed to be loyal to Him and He says, this is what I want you to do, then that's what I need to do. I need to be a soldier and give myself and give my life all the way through, realizing it doesn't matter. It may not turn out the way where I am a successful preacher. It may not turn out the way that I'm successful in my life and I've got all these accolades. It may be that I have to go down because God puts me into the battle and He takes me out a certain way. I'm expendable. Why? Because I'm a soldier of God. I belong to Him. He can do with me as He pleases, and I need to give my life to Him and let Him do it any way He wants to do it. Therefore, conclusion, trust God. Yeah, it's been an awful year, an evil year, a weird year. Did you get it in your head? Have you thought about it? This is the year that God made. He made it the way it is. He did it the way He wanted to do it. This is a good thing. God has done exactly as He pleased. He did it His way. He's working His plan. And I just need to trust Him and follow through with my service to God and be faithful to Him. I need to humble myself. Humble myself before God. Put myself in a position where, God, I'm yours. You do with me whatever you please. I will glorify you. I will honor you. Even if I don't understand what's going on, I praise you, Lord God. I will follow you. I need to be looking for opportunities. Opportunities for service. Opportunities to help others. Opportunities to be a witness. Opportunities to do exactly what God wants, to see where God is leading. Maybe we need to spend more time in prayer and seeking God so that we know when an opportunity presents itself, we're aware of it and we're able to step into it. We need to be looking for opportunities. We need to be asking God to accomplish His will in our lives. Not just, oh Lord, you know, the Lord's Prayer, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Do you really want God's will done in your life? In your heart, if it changes it, it may mess all your life up. You may not have the ease or the routine or the comfort you had because God calls you to do something and it interrupts your day. But let God have His will in your life. Seek for Him to have His will and accomplish His will in your life. Also, take God's side. I mentioned this earlier. Take God's side. Remember several times at different times in my life I've been working. I remember one time in the Army very clearly, I had one sergeant that used the name of the Lord Jesus in vain all the time. She used it like a cuss word. She used it like a byword. And I talked to her, and I talked to her several times, said, ma'am, please don't do that. That's my Savior. That's my God. He died on the cross of Calvary for me. That doesn't make me a special person. But I want to take God's side. I want to be on God's side when everything comes down and everything's wrong and everything seems to be falling apart. When all the smoke blows away, I want to be on God's side, on His side, all the way through. Take God's side. You ever think that COVID and all the situation we've had is a good thing? Did you ever think that it is something that is thankworthy? Can you give God thanks for what's happened this past year? We should. We may not understand it. It may not have been pleasant. It may not have been a lot of fun, but God did His will. God did it His way. God's doing a work, and we ought to be thankful, and we ought to be happy with God and be thankful that He's doing what He wants to do, and He's still in control. He is God. We ought to be able to say this is marvelous in our eyes. This is a wonderful thing, even though I don't understand it. Just like the builders who rejected the stone and it turned out to be the head of the corner. And God says, this is a marvelous thing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the Lord's doing. And God has done it. We need to be thankful for what has come our way. We need to worship and applaud God for what He's done. Oh, there's a lot of things about this situation this year I haven't liked. A lot of things about it I would like to have done different. I would like to have seen done different. I'd like to get back to what I used to think is normal, and we may never get back there. But the fact of the matter is, God has done what He wanted to do, and I want to applaud God and give Him the glory and the praise because He is God and He's doing His work His way. I'm going to read one more verse as I close. Numbers chapter 23, verse 23. Balaam has been hired by Balak to curse the people of Israel. You read the story. It's a fascinating story where the donkey talks. He comes out here, and he's been hired, and he comes up, and he says, because God has told him to say this, surely there is no enchantment against Jacob, neither is there any divination against Israel. According to this time, it shall be said of Jacob and of Israel, what hath God wrought? That phrase has been on my heart, my thinking. Did you ever sit back and say, wow, what a work God has done? You know, it's sometimes easy to look at it when they cross the Red Sea. They get to the edge, and there's water in front of them. There's the armies of Pharaoh behind them. There's disaster seems all around. They're pinned in. They've got no place to go. And God says, go forward. And Moses lifts up his rod, and there's an east wind comes, and it dries up the sea. The waters stand up on a wall on either side, and the children of Israel march down into the bottom of the Red Sea and walk across on dry ground, and they come across to the other side. God closes the waters, and all the armies of Pharaoh are destroyed, and they're drowned in the sea, and their bodies wash up on the shore, and the next day they have a big celebration. Yeah, what hath God wrought? What a miracle. Sometimes the miracles of God don't please us the same way. They're not quite as attractive to start with. But I'll have you know this morning that God is worthy of our praise because of what he's done this past year, because of the problems we've gone through. God is still worthy of our praise because God hath wrought something wonderful. Amen.